It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kemba, left-hand dribble, starts his drive in the paint, scoops it up, no good. Raptors have the rebound. Tice reaches in, jump ball with 2.2 to go. The Raptors are arguing that they called a timeout, but the signal on the floor was jump ball.
And what they're doing, they're actually going to give this ball to the Raptors. They're saying they did get a timeout here, but Nick Nurse called it. Boom. Right here, Nick Nurse, I can't see him. He's on the floor. He's saying timeout. Was it there before he got tied up? And Kemba got knocked down by VanVleet. That's what he's saying. He got hit by him. Kemba's going crazy right now.
And the officials are taking a long time to discuss this amongst themselves. If Ananobi had the ball by himself, it was for maybe two-tenths of it. He certainly didn't land. When he landed, Smart and Tice both reached out and put their hands on the basketball.
Looked like this ball is going to the Raptors.
I don't think that's a good call. And you don't want to make a mistake in a situation like this.
If you're Brad right now, do you want a challenge?
Yes. Sean Wright, the official on the floor who was looking at it, immediately called jump ball. Tony Brothers was near the Raptors bench. I don't question that Nick Nurse yelled timeout. But the Celtics' argument would be, how can you get a timeout call when you don't have sole possession of the ball?
Looks like the Raptors got the ball.
So that whole play, Stevens couldn't challenge it because you can only challenge calls that are made. You can't challenge a play that didn't have a call. Did they want him to challenge whether that was a timeout or a jump ball? I'm not even sure if you can challenge that. Either way, I think the Celtics got porked on a couple different elements of that play. And I thought the jump ball timeout thing was even worse than the non-call on Walker. I'd like to think that the NBA would let that contact go, given he's, you know, throwing himself up against giant men underneath the basket with 2 seconds left in a playoff game. He's going to draw some contact. But the league looked at it in their two-minute report and said, nope, Ananobi should have had a foul call on him, which has, you know, just increased the caterwauling among Celtics fans, Maz. What would you say to those people?
I'd say, stop your bitching, for crying out loud. How many chances do you want to close these guys out? Like, that's what I always look at the patterns. In a vacuum, any single thing, of course. Yes, you could get screwed. It happens. It's going to happen again. So the question is, if there's a pattern of it, then you have an issue. But I look at the pattern of this. You were up 2-0, and you lost the next two games. You lost game four because you didn't show up. Game three because you gave up a horrible buzzer beater at the end because Jaylen Brown was a little late getting out to the three-point line. But again, whatever, you blame who you want. I think it was Brown. Then game four, they didn't show. Game five, they win by a blowout. They choke him out. Game six, they had three possessions in the final minute 20 of regulation. They didn't score in any of them. They had chances to win that game, and they didn't. So here you are. Now you have a game seven. Toronto has not led at any point in this series. You're going to let them win now at the end? The Celtics have, in theory, controlled the series from the beginning.
The refs aren't the reason they lost that game. Stop with the bad turnovers and defend the perimeter. Hold on to a lead.
The refs might be the reason you win tonight. I think it's going to be in your favor. And if a fixer has been assigned to the game, if Scott Foster's the fixer, I'd be stunned if he was fixing it for the Raptors. But, I mean, you got screwed in the last game. The league admitted it. League said, you know, Kemba Walker should be on the line with 2 seconds left or four, whatever it was. And so, you know, they owe you one, and Foster's there. And oh, by the way, the Toronto market does nothing for business in the NBA.
So, I don't know. I feel good about that piece to it if you want to get all, like, you know, worry about the conspiracy theory.
The other thing I like is in game sevens, my feeling generally is that they swallow whistles. That'll help. Because they did in game five, and the Celtics manhandled them.
I think the Celtics can play better D.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the Celtics are, again, the better team. They have better talent. And so if you put the whistles away, I think they choke out Toronto.
Okay, back to your phones on everything on Agenda Free Friday. Chris in the car on last night, I think. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, it was about something you said yesterday, Thunder, and I wanted to say, you know, a belated congratulations to the 11-year on the air. I listen to you guys every day, every minute. And something you said yesterday is the dumbest thing I have heard in that decade, which was your plan to, which I admire your creativity in being king of all sports, your plan to get live audience reactions to live events by delaying them both the same time. Well, the audience at home is watching the delayed telecast five seconds.
I know. You give them the live feed, and so they're reacting in real time, and then you delay it for us.
But so how are you going to get most of the audience to get access to a secret feed? I really thought you were trying to, like, saw off the tree branch you were sitting on, Looney Tunes style with the state of my stuff.
I'm going to put
but
some.
Now I'm genuinely
hold
interested
on, wait
in
a minute.
This would work.
I'm going to put some nerd on it. I'm going to get a team of nerds, and I'm going to give the group of fans I'm going to put on that big screen.
It's actually very easy. I will simplify this for you.
An encrypted whatever access to the game. They're going to watch the game in real time, react in real time.
Encrypted.
Whatever. And then they're going to delay. They're going to put on a 20-second delay for ABC and TNT. And if anyone pulls out his Schmenzer or decides to, you know, whatever, then they're going to blot it out. And you have 20 seconds to do it. Like, wow, how's that so complicated?
It's not. Let me give you a very simple, easy example. We here in the studio get a direct feed of the Felger and Mans show.
Exactly.
On the air, they get a 20-second delay. What is so tough about
that? It's not so tough.
Caller.
I've said way more stupider things than that, I think.
100%.
No.
Yeah, lava tarp.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah.
The lava tarp
is the stupidest thing. Come on.
I stand by the lava tarp, by the way. Here's Mike in Norwood on the booing last night. Go ahead, Mike.
Felger and Mans, how are you?
Fine.
I think that maybe with 9/11 today, it might have hit a nerve with a lot of Americans.
What does locking arms at midfield have to do with 9/11?
It has nothing to do. You would think it would be good for 9/11. I just think people are so bitter about what happened and just...
Meaning what? On 9/11?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think we all should be bitter about that, but what does that have to do with a bunch of players of different colors locking arms in a show of unity at midfield? What does one thing have to do with the other?
I think he's just saying the anniversary of 9/11 might have affected people. I don't believe that for a second.
No, people have turned into raging a-holes is the answer. That's the answer.
Yeah, they didn't like the show of unity.
They just can't let it go for 10 seconds. So they're to watch a football game, presumably. And so there's just going to be a silent, peaceful, quick little statement. And they feel it goes against who they're going to vote for or something. I don't know. And so they just can't let it go for 10 seconds. So what they end up booing, a innocuous, peaceful show of unity. And so they end up booing it. And then they go immediately into the tomahawk chop just to remind the people of the world that no one's going to tell me what to do. If I want to make fun of Indians, I'm going to make fun of Indians. And no one can tell me otherwise.
I mean, it's stunning when you think about it that, you know, the NFL, the last time I looked, was like 68% black, 32% white, you know, whatever. So now you have white players and black players on the field joining arms.
Boo! You suck! Boo! Woo! I mean, that's a natural reaction. Yeah. Doesn't it make total sense?
Isn't that a horrible thing to see people unified?
I hate seeing that. I'm glad they got their asses booed off the field.
That's really something.
I never want to see that again. Just you and your shows of unity. Corey in Rhode Island on the South side. Hi, Corey.
Actually, believe it or not, Mike, I have concerts in Chicago, and I'm seeing friends in your hometown of Milwaukee.
Oh, it's our accordion champion. I didn't even realize what was going on there. Corey, sorry.
Boy, the Milwaukee thing ought to be a party.
The accordion in Milwaukee, I'm sure, is hot. I mean, it's blazing hot up there. The yeah, German, you know, population? Oh, my God, they love that song.
Cheese for everybody.
Don't you betcha now.
Yes.
And Sheboygan and Cordahay. And
oh,
all
you're going to kill it up there. You're going to get more Wisconsin tail than you know what to do with.
Well, I'll report back on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm in the River West. Nobody seems to care that the Bucks are out. So sports, I don't know how big it is over here. But I also want to say, Murray, by the way, yesterday when you talk about athlete musicians, I think you meant to say Bernie Williams, who's very nice. I've actually met him twice. But you said Bernie Sanders.
Oh. what does he play? Never mind. Corey, what's your take today? What do you got?
So with this Game 3 Cinderella shot with Lowry and Anobi there, you know, at that point it just seemed like a fun little moment. But if the Celtics do lose tonight, where does that moment, that shot that went from 3-0 guaranteed win to losing, where would that rank in Celtics kind of choke history, or just that single moment? Where would that kind of rank? I don't know if there's any shot like that that had such a change, whether good or bad, in this case, terrible, for Celtics history.
So who hit the shot for the Phoenix Suns in 1976 in double overtime?
Garfield Hurd.
There you go.
Yeah, Garfield Hurd. There have been a couple. You know, the Celtics have such a...
But the Celtics end up winning, you know?
Right,
so it's like,
right. That's the thing. There aren't a lot of those.
We're only going to look back. If they lose tonight, we'll look back at that shot.
Yeah, so there were a couple. You know, Magic, the baby, the Skyhook at the Garden.
Yeah, that's a huge one, and you lost it.
Alonzo Mourning had one in the Charlotte series we just mentioned. I think that was the series where Alonzo Mourning hit a big jumper from the top of the key to beat him in a game. But you know, for the Celtics, let's be serious. They haven't exactly been traumatized over there.
know,
like, they were the ones traumatizing everyone else. Like, let's not go too far with it.
I always feel like that's letting them off the hook. If you just go back to that shot, and that's the proverbial thread that you pulled that undid everything, these if they lose this, they're gutless. They're gutless and overrated.
Or not ready. Not ready.
Yeah, it's a good point by Murray, though. It's bigger than there's just that shot. I think that's his point.
Yeah. How many opportunities to close this damn thing out?
Yeah, right.
You had the no-show the following game. Like, okay, I kind of excuse that a little bit because you play your ass off for 48 minutes and you lose it in game three in that crazy way. But to no-show like that, all right, you could have, you know, went up in the series then. You didn't. Fine, you win game five. And then to lose in double overtime, you've had other opportunities to close this damn thing out.
It does show you how brittle they are. They were 6-0 in the postseason till then. 6-0, everybody thought, yeah, they're going to the finals. Right? Then that happens, and they've gone 1-2 since.
We continue on Agenda Free Friday right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Ooh, boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So it's safe to say you still get the butterflies, especially before this one?
I don't get butterflies, I give them. That was a joke.
Thank you.
It's time.
He's back.
For Hot Sports Takes.
He's back, bitches. Let's
give it to
Bob
us.
Bob Sosa.
Here comes Bob Sosi, smoking Bob Sosi and his hot, hot take. Yee-hoo! Scorching Bob Sosi, scalding Bob Sosi with his hot, hot take.
So it's so hot. So hot we've had to separate them. We just can't take the heat. As the heat does, I think it does lead to a broader spread of infectious diseases. So we've had to quarantine Bob Sosi in the room next to us, the hot booth it takes back there. For the voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Sosi, his weekly segment has begun. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing great, but I'm perplexed here, wondering why, with so much heat being generated from this side of the glass, that the glass in front of me separating us doesn't look like Andy Reid's face shield last night.
It will be in time after your second take. It's definitely going to fog up. We're going to chill with Bob Sosi, play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill.
Yep, the human micro droplet Bob Sosa.
So, Bobby, we heard Cam Newton there asked about butterflies. He says, I don't get them, I give them. That attitude, what do you expect from Cam Newton Sunday afternoon at Gillette?
Well, should I follow it up with he's going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee? You know, it's a great mystery, right?
It's getting steamy back there, man. So, already.
So much about this season.
We don't do jokes on this show, Bob.
Especially bad ones. Except for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think we all had a pretty good idea of what we might see from them last night. And so much about this season, I think, is a mystery, particularly with this Patriots team. And so I think there's a lot of intrigue and excitement just to find out what we're going to see from them stylistically, schematically, and what we're going to see from Cam Newton on Sunday. I'm excited about that prospect. It's great to be back talking about football, looking forward to a game after the last 6 months, what we've gone through.
So, of course, it's going to be interesting to see. You've been out of practice. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people haven't. So you've been able to see what's going on there. I know you can't report specific plays or formations, but just generally speaking, do you think the offense is going to look different? And you know, I mean, noticeably different, Bob, when we see them on the field on Sunday?
I think there definitely will be some very noticeable differences stylistically, schematically. I think they're presented with some of the same challenges they were with a very different type of quarterback, maybe with a different approach than what we saw last year. You look at the wide receiver position, the tight end spot concerns, I think, with depth on both lines, both sides of the ball, and I'm sure we'll get into the defense, but speaking specifically of the offense, I think it has to look different. I think they have to utilize what Cam Newton is best at and try to incorporate some of the things that have been so effective against the Patriots defenses in recent years. And maybe when there's a margin that's thinner at receiver, for example, and we talk about separation issues, well, maybe now you need to incorporate the threat of the running game, combining it with the passing game. And it's not just the drop back play action or those long, deep drop backs by Brady, the stretch play fakes, but the RPOs, freezing linebackers underneath, hitting receivers on the quick slants, freezing safeties, forcing defenses to account for Newton almost on every snap, or at least on a large number of snaps, as a possible runner.
Bob, when you saw them or saw him, did he look healthy to you?
He did, Tony. You know, the first thing, and everybody I'm sure has said this about Newton, the first thing you notice, and I say this every time we watched him as a Carolina Panther, and now every time I'd go out to practice, the size and just the specimen that he is, so unique. It's not just that he's really tall, but it's everything. He just stands out as a man among men. And from what I could see, now you didn't see him necessarily put the pedal to the metal and turn it on in terms of full speed and running and showing off how healthy his legs might be. But I thought the arm strength, although the arm was inconsistent at times with its accuracy or inaccuracy, I thought the arm strength was there for the most part. I thought he looked healthy. He looked like a guy who acted like he was healthy. So much talk about the energy, and I think the way he was carrying himself on that field day after day reflects that this is a guy who feels really good and confident where he is physically. He knows he's got a lot of room to make up, a lot of ground to make up with, you know, time of the essence when it comes to learning this offense and, you know, being that quarterback for the Patriots who can do the things that Josh McDaniels asks him to do consistently. But I think the energy, I think everything we saw, the personality on the field reflects, this is a guy who feels very good about where he is from a physical standpoint.
How much of a step back do you think the defense will take with the personnel loss?
Well, you know, you're talking about, what, 2,300-plus snaps? When you look at just the linebacker position between Hightower, Van Noy, Jamie Collins, you lose Patrick Chung from the safety spot. They had a lot of difficulty down the stretch against the run. They were hoping that Bo Allen could be a guy on the defensive line to help offset the loss of Danny Shelton, counting heavily on two rookies in Uche and Jennings potentially at linebacker. I think there are a lot of concerns. Now, they got immediate contributions from Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones in the 2012 season opener. I'm not sure they're going to ask that much of these two rookies, but other than Bentley, that linebacker position, you look at the personnel there, and there are a lot of question marks. And even in his case, he didn't play a lot last year after being injured as a rookie in his third game.
You think the Dolphins are better than they were at the end of last year?
No, you look at the personnel on paper, as Belichick said today. They're clearly better in a number of areas, but how much better... In the short period of time that they had to work together with all those new faces, they spent $200 million in free agency. They spent a lot of it on defense, but they also spent some of it on offense. They revamped their offensive line, four new offensive linemen, two free agents, two rookies. They didn't have a running game last year. They went out and got Matt Breida, one of the fastest players in the league, and a good back from San Francisco, plus Jordan Howard. They have, I think, a receiving core that's got some question marks outside of Devontae Parker. But Preston Williams had a good year until he tore his ACL last year. Gesicki, I think, is one of the up-and-coming tight ends. And I think defensively, you know, again, a lot of new pieces. But nonetheless, there's some talent there. Howard, not having him this weekend hurts at cornerback if he doesn't play against the Patriots. But then you got Byron Jones at the other cornerback spot. So I think it's a better team on paper. And I wouldn't be surprised, given the state of where this division is going to be, in my opinion, by the end of the year, if the Dolphins are at least in the mix down the stretch, I think Miami has potential to really improve a lot over last year. They finished 5-4 last year with Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Yeah, I'm not sure if Tua takes over at some point this year, but I think this is the team that, you know, certainly is going to be a lot better than what it was at you know, week 8, week 9 last year.
Okay, Bob Soucy, Scott Zolak with the call Sunday at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're in the stadium, right?
We are in the stadium, yeah.
And do you make sure that you have a plexiglass between you and Zoe so you have that layer of protection?
Oh, I'm hoping so. Either that or I'll have to wear a special suit or something. I will certainly try to prepare myself as best as possible.
See if they can put plexiglass between his feet and yours.
Hi, Bobby.
I have to say that I've been accustomed to living these last 6 months, like most people, the way you guys have lived for the previous 7 years that I knew you, with your wipes and your sanitizer. So, I'll definitely be well prepared. I'll bring some extras on Sunday.
Bobby, we look forward to the call. We look forward to talking to you every Friday here during the football season.
Good to be with you guys. Stay safe. Thanks.
Bob,
see you, buddy.
Again, Sunday 1 here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots, Dolphins, the debut of Cam Newton. You'll catch it here. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Belger.
Good God,
man. Have some pride.
Mez. That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
All right, right back to your phones, as promised. Football, Celtics tonight. Oh, that's basically it. You can call whatever you want. It is agenda-free. David Brockton, go ahead on the C's.
There I am. Hey, how you doing? I just a couple questions. Just wondering, every now and then, you know, I question Brad Stevens' coaching abilities, you know, and the things that he does. Everybody's talking about how the Celtics have to be better defensively, you know. So I've been watching. I see Shimmy Ojeley in there. How come Enes Kanter isn't in there? Where is Enes Kanter?
Let me stop you. Do they miss Enes Kanter?
No.
0.0.
No, not in this series, no. I mean, again, it's a bad matchup for him. This is why they have the big guys they have, because they want to be able to match up. You know, they have a range of them is the point, right? Tice is smaller, more athletic. Kanter is more of an offensive guy, a little bit more of a big body. So, like, but they don't miss Kanter.
I think Tice is giving them what they need.
Tice has been good.
I mean, What's Kanter going to do that Tice? I mean, Kanter's got like a little low post game, but yeah, whatever. They're just lobbing it to Tice and he's dunking it.
Exactly. And Tice is way better defensively. Way better.
Steve, on the officiating tonight. You worried about it, Steve?
Yes, I am, because Scott Foster's roughing it. But I'm still trying to like figure out what you were saying yesterday, that the Celtics deserved these calls and that the refs weren't like actually that bad. I think it actually really affected the game, and I think it was actually pretty atrocious, and it would be a scandal in the NFL or any other sports league, to be honest. And
Steve, let me ask you, why do you think Foster's going to fix it against you? Why does he want the Raptors?
So, I mean, Scott Foster's a fishy one in general.
Right, exactly. So I understand. Let's say he's fixing the game. Why is he picking the Raptors and not you?
I wouldn't say he's picking the Raptors or the Celtics. I'm not confident in his ability to, you know, like, I think that he could possibly screw us, but he could obviously screw Toronto as well. Tony Brothers I think he's like, we're 3-13 or something in the last games he's refed for us. But yeah, I don't know. I think it had an effect on the game. Am I worried about it? In a toss-up game like this, absolutely. Like, I don't know, because like you said yesterday, a narrative can be written if they lose this game. Like, this could potentially, you know, have everybody in the NBA rethink what the Celtics are.
Exactly. Well, but then...
Well, the numbers back it up that Foster has favored the Raptors, if you want to look at it this way. He's 5-0, or the Raptors, rather, are 5-0 in games officiated by him. And the other ref...
is that true in the playoffs?
So I'm looking at bet stats.
No, but is it lifetime playoffs, or is that this year?
It's this year, so it's got to be, you know, including the whole season, going back pre-pandemic. So Foster 5-0, and the other ref is Zach Zarba. The Raptors are 7-1 with him.
Oh boy!
So I don't know. I mean, the numbers don't really favor the Celtics, with the Raptors being a 2.5-point underdog in this game tonight. So
here's what I would tell you. Like, what I would like to know, because the Raptors, I would say, are an aggressive team, you know, defensively, and that maybe these guys don't call fouls and they let them get away with stuff. I think that benefits
favors the Celtics.
I think that benefits the Celtics too. Again, I thought they swallowed the whistles in Game 5, and the Celtics manhandled them.
I'm just saying, if you want to think this way, and you can, I'm not telling you not to, because I think funny stuff goes on in the NBA. It always has. So I don't think you're totally wrong to wonder about that. You just need to tell me why they would want Toronto over you. The Celtics are better for business. They just are. And so if anything's being influenced, especially the way the last one ended, I think it's going to favor you. But I know that's not going to be the way you feel. You're going to be crying about it either way, sort of baked into the water around here. Jordan in Marblehead. Go ahead, Jordan, on the C's.
What are you guys' thoughts on Marcus Smart shooting three-pointers for tonight's game? Like, do you guys trust him or want him to take those kind of shots tonight?
You know what, Jordan?
Sure.
I kind of do.
I mean, he's basically turned into Steph Curry in this series.
Yeah, listen, I would say I trust Smart in the game, generally. The problem with him comes when he starts to take too many of them. So when you say, do I trust him taking threes? Yeah, if he takes the ones he should take, sure.
He's had some nights like this, but where he, you know, he keeps shooting. He's 1-for-9 from
exactly.
Behind the line. Right?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to do that to you tonight?
No, I don't think so. And again, doesn't it depend how it looks, too? Is he just running down and 6 seconds have come off the shot clock and he's chucking it up? Like, those are the ones that make me crazy.
He's not going to do that to you tonight.
I wouldn't rule it out because he likes to think he has big balls.
Okay, but
he does.
Yes, so he'll be 5 for 9. You know, he's not going to. Well, I mean, I could be wrong, and on Monday I'll show up and say I was wrong. But I think in a game like this, he's going to put the governor on himself. And if he's not hitting, he's not just going to keep chucking, for it to go in.
In this series, he's shooting 43% from three. He's been good.
Here's Steve in Pennsylvania on something we haven't hit on, and you actually have to tell me exactly what the story is. But go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous here. There was a story that came out about Dak Prescott. He did an interview discussing his anxiety and depression, and he also talked about dealing with his brother's unfortunate suicide. Unfortunately, yesterday, Skip Bayless came out and said that calling him weak is a quarterback. As someone who struggles with both anxiety and depression, and I feel a big deal about this. It's National Suicide Awareness Month, and I applaud Mr. Prescott for speaking out, and I just like you guys' opinion on what happened.
Okay, so I don't know exactly what Bayless said. I'm just reading it now. But Murray,
he
came
off as someone from the 1950s or 60s. Basically, the gist of it, Mike, was suck it up, buttercup, which, I mean, you couldn't be more tone deaf. And it has nothing to do with, like, you know, the sensitive times we're living in. He sounded like a complete a rockhead and an a-hole about it. If anything, I think Dak Prescott, for what he said, should be applauded. I mean, like the caller just said, and what's up, Steve? I hope you're doing well. He lost his brother to suicide this summer. We are going through the pandemic, which has been a lot of stress on people. His mother died of cancer, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. For him to be that open as a professional athlete, and a notable one, I think should be applauded. And I don't even think Skip Bayless was just trying to do it and act like he often is. I just think he's a rockhead and really believes this. And he should be quiet, and some of his teammates aren't going to respect him as much because he's talking this openly about depression, or maybe it makes him weaker to the opponents. Like, it was just so stupid. So that's all that the story was. And now people are calling for Skip's head and he should lose his job. And I don't believe that. I mean, if he has that opinion, as stupid as it is, he's got the gig to talk about it, but he should expect the blowback if he's going to say something that stupid.
I mean, that's ignorance. If you ask me, that's just that is the utmost level of ignorance. So, again, I hadn't followed this story all that much either, but that's an ignorant comment. I mean, there are a lot of guys who have dealt with stuff like that, that their teammates end up rallying around. Like, I think he's almost got it backwards. You know, if his teammates, you know, understand who he is and what he's fought through, I think they rally around him.
Long commercial free segment continues with your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Zellner and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You mentioned in your first comment that it's been 16 full games since you've played. It'll be a year and a day since you took the field. Your last game against Tampa was September 12th, and This weekend's game against the Dolphins will be September 13th. When you look back on those 366 days, I guess, what are you going to think of?
It was just a part of the chapter. I think right now where I'm at, I'm in a happy place. I feel motivated. I feel, it's just a lot of great emotions that's going on that's not hindering me from becoming my best self. And yet through it all, I just like it most that I'm just a piece to a puzzle, I don't want to be the puzzle. I've tried my best daily to prove my worth to this team and understand that it's a lot of guys here that are depending on each other. And I just want to be a person that, the team and these coaches can trust and depend on.
More from Cam Newton yesterday. His debut comes Sunday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The beginning of the post-Brady era on Sunday. It's a big day. It's a big day. Talked about it, obviously, a lot over the last couple months. But Sunday, it hits home for the first time. You see him run on the field as the quarterback of the New England Patriots. What was that like, that first game of the 1993 Celtics season when Larry Bird didn't run out there? What was that like? Or you old-timers, the day Ted Williams didn't run out there? And it was Yaz, or when Yaz left and it was Jim Rice, or whatever. Like, what was that day? So that's what we're looking at. And then those, I think, pale in comparison to this. I think Brady's even a bigger,
Totally.
As big as Williams was, I don't know. I'm sorry. He didn't win like this. So I think this is kind of unprecedented. I mean, it's really, there's not many things in our lifetime you can point back to sports-wise and say the passing of a torch or the next guy be like, the 1969 when Phil Bengtson took over for Vince Lombardi. Like, it's that kind of thing. And so I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated to see what it looks like. And I think that thing that he just said there is going to be a tough balance for him, where he says, I just want to be a piece of the puzzle, not the puzzle, which is great, which is what I think mostly they want you to be, right? You're just a shareholder. You're just a cog in the system. Except, don't you think they're expecting more out of Newton, where they want more? So, like, part of this narrative is that Bill thinks he's going to have trouble drawing players here, so he wants Newton to be that guy. I think Bill, you sort of get the sense, got sick of Brady's sourpuss here the last couple of years. And so you see Newton out there dancing around in high energy and sort of being more than just a piece. Like, he's got a lead, and, I think so. There's a little mixed messaging in there. Like,
do you know who hates it, by the way?
Who hates what?
Edelman hates the Cam Newton celebration and trying to make him happy.
You need to back up again. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay, so Julian Edelman did a media avail today.
Yep.
And he was asked about the Cam Newton happiness, and he said, I'm miserable.
Huh?
He made some crack about I'm miserable or something like
that.
Oh,
it doesn't sound like it was a joke at all. I'll play you the audio here.
Please do. Go ahead.
And Cam Newton had a lot of good things to say about you yesterday, but he also did say that sometimes he likes to tease you a little bit to get you to lighten up on the practice field. Does that work? Is it effective from Cam?
No, not really. I'm happily miserable.
Does that inspire you to be a better player, being happily miserable?
I don't know. It's just the way I am,
I don't read anything into that.
Oh, I do.
You do?
It's why he did. It's why he wasn't a captain. He was a miserable, bad word.
I'm here to work.
DB.
Not goof around and dance.
Well, so I'm with Edelman on this.
Yeah.
I'm with that whole ethos. Happily miserable. That's me.
No, not really. I'm happily miserable.
Well, yeah, right. You're miserably miserable. But I see what you mean. You're happy to be miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that I agree with. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, Murray.
I don't know how to read it.
Miserable.
I just don't think Edelman in the Zoom conference call with Stacey James sitting over his shoulder and Bears watching is going to, drop a bomb. So I think he's just, they're tweaking each other.
Here's what I'll tell you about Edelman. When it's time to play, I have confidence he'll play. That's all. And I think I learned that from Garoppolo, that he was clearly in Brady's back pocket, Edelman was, and we all wondered how it was going to work. And then once Garoppolo became the quarterback, Edelman played. So I have confidence that when it's time to compete, that Edelman will compete.
Okay, we continue with your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Steve in the car, what do you got, Steve?
Hey, guys, I was just going to call regarding the Patriots offense and the difference that we'll probably see, because the fact is that Brady was drafted by the Montreal Expos as a catcher. he can throw aspirins whenever he wants. So I think the biggest thing we're going to see as far as the Patriots' offense is concerned is their go-to play, which is that quick out where the receiver goes past 1 yard past scrimmage, and it's an instant 4 yards.
Okay, so that's a little option route to Edelman. I don't think that's going to be there for him this year like it's been in the past. I don't think Newton's that kind of guy. I don't. I think their bread and butter play is going to be something with Newton on the move. And it should be, and I want it to be. Like, that's what I want the offense to be. I want them to, you know, release the hounds. Let him go. You got this guy for a reason. Doesn't make sense to sign Cam Newton and then drop him back 3 yards to throw little option routes where you have to be super accurate. I don't think that's his game. I know we've talked about this, Mass. I know he had that one good accurate year with Norv Turner, with Christian McCaffrey's first season. I don't know. I think dumping it off to a running back out of the backfield is different than the thing the caller was just saying.
Yeah, and so look, all I'm telling you is this, and this is my only point about the year where he completed 68%. Throw the same kind of passes, whatever it is. If it's the running back passes and that's different, then fine. Have him throw the passes that he's the best at. I think this is what Bill's good at as a coach. Find the balls that he does throw well. I mean, like, you know what always sticks out to me with that one was when Bledsoe went in for Brady in the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh, he ended up throwing a touchdown pass to David Patton, mm-hmm. right? It was a deep out, which Bledsoe threw well. So Bill immediately said, well, we're going to give him a pass that he can throw. Like, you know, to me, that's what you do. You give him stuff that he can throw. That's what you should focus on.
We've got Jacob and Webster on tonight, I think. Go ahead, Jacob.
What's up, guys? I hope to God that the Celtics win tonight. Not only, obviously, because I want us to move to the conference finals. I just don't think I could watch another whole series of Nick Nurse and Lowry crying and complaining about every single whistle. They might be the biggest babies in the whole league.
Next to Jason Tatum, Daniel Tice, and Marcus Smart. I'd put them all up there in the same category. Your coach carries himself well, but your players? Please, you're just as bad, if not worse, than Toronto.
You didn't happen to see Gary Washburn's column today, did you?
I sure did.
Okay. I think Washburn raises a great point.
That Stevens needs to whine and cry to the refs more?
Yeah. And whining and crying, I mean, there's ways to do it without whining and crying.
No, I mean, I said that for a
yeah, second. No. I mean, but that's the perception of, that's the reality of it, that's how it comes off. So I don't think it's wrong to describe it as that. But he needs to fight a little more.
I mean, it's working for Nurse. Different sport, but it's
I think that's part of the coach's job. Doc Rivers worked the refs.
I know.
Craig Berube did it last year.
They all worked the refs.
I like that Cassidy doesn't, and I like that Stevens doesn't.
What if it hurts your team?
I guess. I know. So you got to do it. But I just think it's just such tool baggery.
Okay, but
just,
how about just getting on the ref's ass instead of, you know, gesticulating and doing everything else and making antics out of it?
I'm just not the guy like you people that want to dump on Nick Nurse and call him the worst thing ever. But if he did it for you, you'd be like, well, that's just gamesmanship. He's just doing what's best for his team. I can't be that guy. Either I like that approach or I don't like that approach. And I don't like that approach.
Okay, but with him, like, you know, he gets in the squat down by the corner.
I know.
Like, that's a little much. How about just saying, hey, you know, how's that not a foul? Like, I think Stevens could do more of that. I also agree with Washburn's point that, you know, the play where Powell made the 3-point play after stripping Tatum, challenge it. What are you saving the timeout
for? Okay, so that I'm with you, because Stevens wants to, you know, like, boy, does he hoard those timeouts. And then a lot of times he doesn't end up using them because he doesn't want, you know, Toronto, a lot of these late game situations, he's let it roll without using the timeouts. When Walker found Tice before the Anunoby 3-pointer, he deliberately did not call a timeout because they wanted to expose Gasol on the Kemba Walker last-second shot. He didn't call timeout. So I think he ended last game with 2 timeouts in his pocket. Like, you can't use one of those for a challenge. So I'm with you on that. Use your challenge.
I just think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive in some of those spots. That's all. And so, and if it really means berating a referee, like, sometimes I would even say it's worth it to take a tech. Now, it depends on the situation. But, like, you got to let them know that you're going to bitch at something close, because otherwise they'll you know, you'll end up with a free throw disparity. The other night, I said this to you the other day, they made the same number of field goals. They made the same number of 3-pointers. The 3-point difference came at the line. And the Celtics, I think, had 8 fewer attempts at the line. I don't know if that's 4 fewer. Did they win the game?
I think that's going to even out, you know,
probably
for whatever Stevens is not doing on the floor or at the podium, I guarantee you Ainge is doing behind the scenes. Because Ainge, that freaking weasel whiner, and I say that with all the love and respect in my heart, but that's what he is and what he was as a player. Freaking crybaby.
He complains about the refs a lot.
Oh, my God. Was there a bigger crybaby in basketball when we were kids than Danny freaking Ainge?
He was up there.
You tell me that behind the scenes, he's not making the phone
calls.
Oh,
he definitely is.
Okay, yeah. So, like, rest assured, the Celtics are getting their point out to the league. That is so... I find it refreshing that Cassidy doesn't do it and that Stevens doesn't do it. I like it. Does it hurt them? I don't know. Believe you me, Ainge is making your feelings heard behind the scenes.
I mean, I don't think Stevens is like stoic there. I mean, he'll go after the refs. He doesn't do it a lot, but he does it. And I just wonder, I don't know, do you lose a little something there? I don't think it's an unfair question.
Okay, Celtics-Raptors. No, it is a fair question. Celtics-Raptors tonight on the board. Newton, Brady, NFL this weekend on the board. Gasper on both items right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.